Hello and welcome to the Dragons Are Real podcast. So today I'm going to do something a little bit different. I'm going to look at a bestiary or a monster manual, as some people now know it from D&D. Usually your bestiaries are just simple devices. They give you a list of monsters, sometimes something a bit different from your core game. They give the stats and maybe a little some abilities and maybe a paragraph off to a flavor. So I'm always interested to see if anybody does it different. So today I'm going to be looking at the Monster Overhaul, which is by Skirples. This is something I backed on Kickstarter, and the hardback version is a big, thick, beefy tome. So let's dig in and see what we've got in the Monster Overhaul. So it starts off in the inside and back covers. We've got some useful tables. The way this is split up, there are 20 chapters of monsters in sort of categories, and each chapter has 10 further monsters. So if you want to, you can roll some d20s, pick your chapter, and roll a d10 and get a random monster. There's a table for reaction rolls, which is an OSR style thing. Instead of a monster fighting to the end, you roll 2d6, and depending on its reaction, it will either attack or stand by. And there's four different tables you can roll in here. There's tables for reasons for an encounter, where you will find them indoors and outdoors, which are nice and generic. There is local attitude, unique feature, horrible aesthetics, and a generic creature upgrades. And this is 20 different things you can add to your creatures to make them a little bit different. I've not found this table that's in the front and back covers anywhere in the book, so this appears to be the only place it is. But it's things like if they're winged, two-headed, venomous, that sort of thing. The chapters that we've got are people, dungeons, dragons, thinking beasts, heraldic beasts, primeval, elemental, divine, dark and malign, a wizard did it, spring, summer, fall and winter, hostile forest, hot plains, mysterious mountains, stormy seas, strange water, and science fiction. And as I said, each of these chapters has got 10 creatures in it. The introduction to the book explains what this is about, and this book is designed to be a utility at the table, so you can get it out, roll in some random tables, and get up and going. There's a glossary of what all the abbreviations in the book mean and how they break down the monster statistics. Now, this is an OSR style game, so we have the number appearing, the hit dice, which in OSR games was a d8, the hit points, and that's usually the hit dice multiplied by 4.5, and then for each of them it gives their appearance, what their voice is, what they want, what is the morality, and what is their intelligence. What I do like is armor is given as either none, leather, chain, plate, or plate and shield, so you can easily adapt this to whatever system you're using, whether it's an OSR game, a new SR game, or even 5th edition. Movement is abstracted to normal, normal times 2, so that can be ported across to any game. It does include a morale system, which was core to the old OSR games, and that's a number between 2 and 12. And at certain times, like when you have the first death on your side, or half of your side are incapacitated, or something spectacular happens, you'd roll your 2d6. And if you equal or lower the number, that monster stays to fight. You roll higher than it, and the monster goes away. So a monster with a morale of 2 would like almost always run away, and a monster of 12 is going to fight on till their death. Each creature includes their damage type and how much damage they cause, and any special abilities. It also lists some of the effects that can be caused by the creatures. And one thing I do like, one of the problems with old school games is, for some people, is level drain, where a creature would reduce the level of a character and sort of knock it back a whole level or maybe even more. And the PC then has got to fight up again and get everything back. What this does, instead of removing level, if a creature does level drain, it creates an XP debt. So instead of needing a 500 XP for your next level, it might add another 500 to 1,000 to it. So you're not going down, but it's taking you longer to go ahead. And I think that's a really neat way of doing it. Each chapter has some random tables. There's a random table of adjacent creatures that are found in other chapters, which you can use with them. There's also tables of those 10 creatures alphabetically and to randomly make an encounter. And there's a host of other tables, which really adds flavor to those creatures, as we will see shortly. There's some GM advice on how to use in tactics for the creatures, what is a monster, and the first chapter is people. So we've got the first table as a cross-referenced omen. So this is something that might be warning the people of what's coming up. So it may be avian shrieks, feathers, torn ropes, and cautious shouts. And the encounter is a griffin surrounded by 10 D10 barbarians hoping to capture and tame it. So each of the chapters has got this. We've got a random table of the adventurers, merchants, etc. in this chapter. A combined omen, which is creatures from this chapter plus from other chapters, where you'll encounter them both indoors and outdoors, which you can roll on for some tables. And dotted around the book are some specific, some example locations, which you can slot into any campaign or game, and this one has got a generic village or generic inn. So I'm going to start off looking at the barbarian. We have one troublemaker or 10 d10 barbarians. They have a hit dice of 1 with 6 hit points. They're lightly armored warriors, heavily accented or incomprehensible. They want to have a good time, make some money, sing some songs. They're pragmatic, honorable when convenient. They're have expertise with horses, wilderness traveling, trading, and field machine. Their armor is as chain. They move normal, often on horseback. The morale is 10, and the damage is 1d6 plus 1 sword, axe, or flail, or bow, throwing axe, or javelin. And once per day, a barbarian may perform a feat of strength. And we have a random table for feats of strength, and this might be something like they hurl a weapon object or surveyed limb up to 100 feet. And does 1d6 plus 1 damage on a hit. So you could have them all having the same feat, or you can randomly roll for each of your barbarians. There's a random table for barbarian nations just over the horizon, and a random table for what the barbarians want. And then we have a list of 1d100 barbarians, and it gives a name and a distinction, so you've got a bit of variety. So this might be Iderea, who speaks with beasts. So, as you can see, quite a bit of work has gone into that list alone. So what I'm going to do now, instead of going through the entire chapter, every chapter, I'm going to pick some core beasts out that we would normally look at. So one that I always like to look at is goblins, because goblins are often boring. So let's see what Skirples does with boring. Or what Skirples does not does boring with goblins. So they appear as 2d6 or patrols of 10d6 or 30d20s as a horde. And there are always 1d6 more goblins just out of sight. The hit dice is 0, but they have 2 hit points. They're small, thin, toothy and furtive humanoids. They're mockery, giggling and obscene noises, and very rarely use words of more than 2 syllables. They want to be free, to have a good time, no impulse control, and no delayed gratification. They have wild swings of morality between civility, murderous rage, curiosity, and terror. They are dim, but enthusiastic. They don't wear armor, but leaders of a high status might have leather or chain armor. They move normal, have a morale of 4, and use a 1d6 club, short sword, spear, or bite. If 10 or more goblins are present, one of them will have a Goblin Elite weapon, which is a random table, and 50 or more present, they will have 3 Goblin Elite weapons and 1 Goblin Super weapon. And the tactics, they try to overwhelm their enemies, retreating and trying again if the first assault fails. They will never try the same tactic twice. They can be temporarily cowed by force, bribery or fear, but will eventually turn on allies or each other. And then we have random tables for a description of the goblin, their goblin abilities, and what are the goblins doing, which I think is a really neat little table. So it might be something like they are doing a rat on a stick battle, cheering bets. They might be digging a tunnel. Where does it lead? Barely wide enough to crawl through. So immediately you've got some different scenarios that you can have for goblins. But it doesn't stop there. We have a D100 table for goblin names and descriptions. Then there's a random table for goblin elite weapons, goblin mounts, another one for goblin traps, and goblin super weapons. So for an example, a goblin elite weapon might be something like skelly arms, chop them off a skeleton, melee 1d6 damage, tries to strangle. We've got another page of random tables with some goblin loot, a random table for where do goblins come from, the goblin fears, the fear reactions, another one for desperate endearing goblin tricks and goblin leadership methods, and a call out box for some goblin trivia. So as you can see, a lot of work has been gone to goblins, so no longer will your goblins be boring. Another one I like to look at is vampires. So let's have a look at vampires and see what Skirpulse has done with vampires. Vampires, we have one lurker or covens of 2d6. They have 8 hit dice with 36 hit points. They have fangs, piercing eyes, a normal voice. They want blood and power. They are drowned in all-consuming hunger. They're as smart as they were in life, but fixed in decaying morbid patterns. Their armor is as plate, and they're immune to non-magical damage, lightning, cold, and mind-altering effects. They move or fly normal. Their morale is 10, and their damage is 1d6 plus 5 claw. And instead of making an attack, a vampire can use one of the following abilities. An enthrall, where they target a creature within 50 foot, who must make a save or treat the vampire as a dreaded overlord for 48 hours. They bite. If they've got a helpless or enthralled victim, they can do 2d6 damage, and the vampire heals for the damage they dealt. And they may spread vampirism. They can extract thoughts, target a creature who must save or telepathically reveal one secret or memory to the vampire. A vampire regenerates 3 hit points per round, and if it is reduced to 0, it explodes into mist and reforms in its resting place or grave, remaining immobile for at least 8 hours. Final death can only be accomplished by one of the methods below. And then we have a random table of vampire names and features, their titles and what they're addressed as, then their demeanour, foible, and the final death method. So it might be heart excision, repeated funeral, or douse in vinegar. So we've got some nice examples there of how you can kill a vampire. Then there's a random table of vampire contagion methods, how the disease is spread, additional vampire special ability table, a vampire restriction table, so that's how you slow them down, so they cannot cross a line of salt, for example, or mirrors might stop them in their tracks. What's a random table for a vampire weakness, a vampire rumour table, a vampire aesthetics table, and then we have tables for their origin, their age, the explanations for their behaviour, another random table for servants of the vampire, favoured followers, and lair location. And this is followed by a generic gothic manor. So as you can see, just by looking at those two creatures, a lot of work has gone into this. Not only do we have their stats, there are a host of random tables that really give some flavour to these creatures. And I think you could roll randomly on these tables for one of the creatures you want to use, and it'll set you up of what's going on and give you some great plot generation ideas. So instead of going all through all these monsters now, let's just go back and see what else you get, and you get some ideas of some of the creatures that you will get in this book. So we've got the standard things like beasts. So these are things like your griffin, your hydra, your cockatrice. We've got your darker malign stuff, so zombies, werewolves, vampires. Things you find in the dungeon like mimics, oozes and orcs. Primeval creatures like lizards, apes and sloths, 10 different types of wizards, 10 different types of dragon. And maybe we should look at some dragons, maybe not. We'll leave that for you to buy the book and have a look. Some elementals, and then we've got things that you'll find in different parts of the year. So in the spring you'll find a centaur, druids or a shambler. Well, summer it might be a pyromancer, a sundog, fall and winter. hostile forest, things like bears. Go on, let's have a look at the bear, because everyone likes a bear. And it goes in the old formula of, if in doubt, just use a bear. So we have 1d4 bears, 6 hit dice with 27 hit points. Yeah, no really surprise with the description of a bear. Unless hungry or wounded or very agitated, bears prefer to drive intruders away from their territory with loud roars and aggressive display. And they do 1d6 claw, which has got 2, and a 1d8 bite. And if both claw attacks hit the same target, the target takes an additional 1d8 damage and is stunned for one round. There's a table of legendary bear abilities. Some bear variants. So we've got the brow mane bear, tan face bear, dome face bear. Their disposition, whether aggressive, cautious, or curious. 10 things found in a bear den. So bears is just a one-page one. But as you can see with some of the others, there's pages and pages of creatures. Then we get to the back of the book. We have an indices section. The Celestial Index of Benevolent Knowledge. We have an index of monster utilities, a generic mega dungeon, and importantly, an alphabetical list of all monsters. And as you can see from this list in front of me, if you're watching on YouTube, no good if you listen to the audio podcast, all the creatures are there, nicely indexed. So that is the Monster of All by Skirples. It's available for $30 from DriveThru as a PDF. It's 300 plus pages. I'm not sure if it's still available to hardback. So you might think it's a bit pricey for a PDF. But as you've seen, a ton of work has gone into it. I've got the big hardback version, which I think was a Kickstarter exclusive. It really is, I think, a great addition to your arsenal. And whether you play an OSR game, a new school game, a free Kriegspiel game, or even fifth edition, I think there is load to be taken away from this. So that's a big thumbs up for me, the Monster Overhaul. Check it out. Thank you as ever for listening, and I'll catch you all on the flip side.